What is up, you guys? We are back with another episode of Investigating Innovation with the I2C. I'm your host, Madison Travis, and on today's episode, we're going to be sitting down with Matt Sloan. He's the CEO of Skyfire and also a new tenant here at the I2C. We're going to be asking him about what made him move to Huntsville, what his company's looking like, and what his big goals are now that he's moved into the I2C. Let's roll. Hey, Matt, what's up? We're so glad to have you here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
glad to be here.
Super excited. You know, you're 3 hours in the I2C, and you got to get in the Spark studio early. So super excited to have you. Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about your company. I don't know. Just give us the rundown.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Matt Sloan. I'm the founder and CEO of Skyfire Consulting. We are actually a bigger company called Atlanta Drone Group Incorporated, which I'm also the CEO. It's really just one big company, but the primary focus of our company is public safety drone integration. So we work a lot with police and fire departments, emergency management agencies, and the goal is to get them this life-saving technology of drones that they can incorporate into their daily workflows. So, you know, the technology, obviously the military has been using for quite a long time, but really integrating it into public safety is something that's only happened in the last 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for six. And so we were, when we first started doing it, you know, we would talk to people about drones and they're like, what do I need that for? That's a toy. You know, I've seen that at Best Buy.
Yeah.
But really over the last couple of years, people have come to understand that, you know, with thermal imaging cameras and the ability to basically send a robot where you would rather not send a human being actually makes the job a lot safer. And so that's kind of our goal.
Super cool.
So we actually do a fair bit of education. That's kind of most of what we do is just getting people to understand, you know, that this data is accurate. On the law enforcement side, you know, they want to know, is it accurate enough to take to court as evidence? Things like that.
Part.
So there's a lot of work going on here at UAH and in other places where they have UAS programs to really validate the data and make sure that it's accurate enough to stand by. But yeah, I mean, we talk about this all the time, particularly in the mapping part of what we do, you know, is like you can actually get a more accurate map of something with a drone than you can with a guy.
I believe that.
Survey, you know, GPS and all that kind of stuff. So it really does, it really makes the workflow more effective.
Yeah. So this is kind of an off-topic question, but related. So are you guys planning to kind of like work with like UH students and like different programs here to kind of like, I don't know, research or maybe like aspects like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal.
Yeah.
You know, we've actually done some work with the UAS program here at UAH long before I even thought about moving to Huntsville. Casey Colomeo is one of the researchers there, and they do a lot of stuff with wildfire, predictive wildfire mapping. Cool. So that's how we sort of crossed paths. And actually, that's how I ended up here at I2C. So I called Casey and asked if y'all had a program like this. And he pointed me in this direction. So yeah, I think that's my goal, you know, to really work with them. You know, obviously, they have, some FAA sanctioned programs that we would love to, you know, help out with and then take advantage of the students here and the engineering background that Huntsville as a whole has is going to be exciting.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So, how did this all come about? I mean, you've mentioned two companies now that you're kind of CEO of, like, was there like a specific moment where you kind of realized like, oh, like this is what I want to do? Or was it a process? Like, how did that, what did that look like?
Yeah. So I spent 14 years actually working at CNN. I was a producer there. Yeah, it was, I really enjoyed it a lot. It's a little bit of a different organization today than it was when I was there. But I worked in medical news. So I was sort of out of the fray of all this political nonsense.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. And I was a producer there, like I said, for a long time. And actually when we, I decided in early 2014 I was going to leave and do something as an entrepreneur, and I had no idea what that was going to be. but in I was still freelancing for CNN at the time, and I got asked to come speak to a group of firefighters about how the media covers major stories. And so I went down to our public safety training center in Georgia and gave them a little explainer on how CNN covers stories.
Right.
I had just gotten my first drone the day before. And I said, oh, now this is the new thing. We got these flying cameras now. So you thought reporters were a pain when they were on a tripod with a microphone. Now we got these flying things. And I had four fire chiefs come up to me afterward and they say, hey, how do we get that for our department? And it was like a light bulb immediately went off in my head. I had also worked in EMS for several years during college. And so I sort of knew the public safety world a little.
Yeah.
And honestly, we started the company the next day and just
That's
started
awesome.
Researching and like I said, we went to our first show and everybody was like, what the?
Wait, what are you doing? Yeah, yeah.
So we were a little discouraged by that, but, you know, it's definitely come a long way.
Sometimes, especially like with the tech startup world, you know, everything that is here at the I2C, that's how a lot of people look at the entrepreneurs in the beginning. It's like, I just don't know if I can get behind it. Yeah. And then
We were too early.
Oh, right. And then later down the road, they're like, man, should have got on that train when it passed, you know? But, you know, it's been around for a minute, you know, what does your day to day look like? How has that changed over the years? And like, you know, what are you doing at the company?
You know, bigger company, bigger problems. So, you know, before it was, you know, can we keep the lights on?
Right.
It's not so much that anymore, but you know, I have 22 people working for me now. So now it's, you know, can I keep 22 people's families fed?
Yes.
That's kind of my main goal. But no, it's funny because, you know, in the beginning I was doing everything and I had three business partners. Two of them had day jobs at the time. Actually, the other three had day jobs. So this was like kind of just me. That's obviously changed. But, you know, I was doing everything in the beginning. And now I don't get to do much in the way of flying drones.
Yeah.
So I think that's changed quite a bit. I've started working on the business instead of working in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And that took a little getting used to.
Oh, for sure.
You know, the majority of what I do is, you know, partnerships and schmoozing and investor relations and stuff like that. And I can't tell you the last time I put my hands on a drone.
Yeah. So,
But it's cool. I mean, that's, you know, as a producer, that's kind of what I did in my last life was, you know, schmooze and talk to people and grease the wheels. And so I'm doing a lot of that. And actually what's been cool about it is because I'm not so integral to the day to day, that allowed me to move out to here to Huntsville while the other people are back in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And that's been a really cool change.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of opportunity to focus on the growth side of things without it's great whenever you actually get good people working for you and then you trust them to actually run those day-to-day operations.
I can't say enough about my team. We have such an incredible team of people who are just so good at what they do and, you know, and we're growing and, you know, we've acquired two companies in the last year. And so that's provided its own challenges, but I think it's been really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So kind of going off of, you know, how you've grown and you have more people now, would you say what kind of challenges did 2020 pose for you? Like, did things change, or would you say it was pretty steady? Like, what did it look like last year?
Yeah, this is fascinating to me about 2020. Just I think the books and the studies and all the stuff that's going to come out about this time are going to be so interesting. But you know, we had gone into 2020. We had just taken some investor money, so we had some money in the bank, which was nice.
Yes,
And we were kind of looking at 2020 as a transition year. We used to sell a lot of drone equipment. We stopped doing that because there's a lot of people that do that and do it well.
Yeah.
And we didn't need to do it. And it was work intensive and the profit margins were very thin and it was a lot of work for, you know. So we would still, you know, direct people in the right way. We'd help them pick the equipment, but we just wouldn't actually sell it.
Okay.
So one of the things we told our investors going into 2020 was, hey, just be ready for our revenue to drop like crazy because we're going to get rid of this line of business. But our costs are going to go down significantly because we're not fronting, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So we sort of knew it was going to be a transition year anyway, but we felt kind of bad about it because we're like, oh my God, the market's going to be like churning and burning. And then the pandemic hit and like in some ways it actually gave us an excuse to kind of take a step back.
That is true.
So that was unexpected.
Yeah.
You know, our business definitely slowed down. And so we did take advantage of some of the COVID loans and things that were out there, and we're still in that process. But it really set us up to go into this year strong, you know, get the team where we want it to be. Like I said, we, you know, the pandemic had already started when we acquired the first company, and then we acquired another one in August.
Yeah.
We also hired our director of public safety, Mike Rogers, who he just retired out of the FBI as their nationwide UAS program manager. So, like literally the best expert in the world on law enforcement drones. So we're super excited to have him.
That's awesome.
That's also part of the reason for the move to Huntsville too, because obviously the FBI is
coming
here in a big way.
Yes, very big way.
So yeah, it's been weird. Like our revenue actually didn't go down all that much, which was
awesome.
Great.
But
in the fact that it did, you know, our investors are like, oh yeah, 2020. We
2020,
get it.
for real. I think it gives you a lot of time to focus on those things that you may not have focused on in a normal year and a year of like crazy growth because you just didn't have the time to.
Yeah.
So 2020 gave you a time to like step back and just look at things for what it is.
For
like, what can we work on? How can we grow next year, because this year just doesn't seem like the year. So, you know, speaking of that, what is 2021 looking like? Like, what goals do you kind of have for this year moving forward?
Yeah, we're super excited about what's coming this
year.
As I said a couple of times, we acquired two companies last year. One was a company called Viking UAS. Viking actually manufactured some test aircraft for the Army that actually went through airworthiness testing here at the Arsenal, which is cool.
Yes.
We've really kind of pushed them into the public safety drone manufacturing area. So lots of really exciting stuff is going to be coming out here pretty soon. I can't say a whole lot about it.
Yeah.
I'll come back and tell you once.
Okay, we'll have to have you back on.
Lots of really great stuff coming, and we've got a massive client ready to accept some very cool drones here in the next month or two. So that's really exciting. So I think that's honestly become a huge focus of what we're doing.
Right.
And then also with us bringing on Mike Rogers, you know, his big focus is going to be on training. And so, you know, he's trained pretty much every FBI agent that flies a drone today has gone through Mike's training at some point.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to kind of adding his knowledge into the mix.
Yeah,
we're doing
a
lot more specialized training. So SWAT specific, you know, law enforcement stuff, evidence collection, things like that.
That's
so
really cool.
Moving on from the basics into the real specifics.
Yeah. So, yeah. Which only makes you more valuable and more profitable.
For sure.
So that's awesome. Well, you know, you kind of mentioned a little bit about what brought you here to Huntsville and the I2C, but, you know, Huntsville is very much growing and has a lot of opportunity. What kind of specifics kind of drew you to the I2C? Like, what are you liking so far? What are the benefits, I guess?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think let me back up a step and say we actually started thinking about moving to Huntsville for family reasons, right? We had family here and I had never been here. I mean, I'd certainly heard about it, but we came up from Atlanta and just fell in love with it because it's a little bit slower paced than Atlanta. And, you know, my wife said, I want a subdivision with a lot of kids, but I also want mountains and I also want a whole bunch of open space. And I was like, we're never going to find all that in one place. And then we did. So we live in a great subdivision with tons of kids and there's a mountain out back and we can get, you know, on top of Cecil Ashburn or whatever in 10 minutes and go hiking if we want.
Yep.
So so that's what initially drew us here. And then, as I said, you know, I started talking to my coworkers and the one was like, well, you know, our aircraft go through airworthiness testing at the Arsenal. And then Mike said, you know, the FBI is moving a whole bunch of people there. And I was like, wow, this is
all the pieces.
All roads lead to Huntsville. So we kind of like literally on a whim just like sold our house and found one here and moved to Huntsville. So great decision, by the way. I've only been here a month and a half, but I'm loving it. And then as far as I2C, I mean, honestly, what started the conversation was I have two young kids and I absolutely cannot work from home or I'll lose my mind. And so I was like looking around for, you know, what could possibly be a good fit. And I talked to Casey, as I said, one of the UAS researchers here at UAH. And I was like, do you guys have any kind of program like that? And he pointed me towards I2C. And then I spent some time talking to RigVed and I was just like, wow, this is exactly what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Because I don't need a ton of space. I don't need a huge office. It's just me. But I love the idea of being able to collaborate with students and with researchers. And there's lots of, you know, grant funded projects and FAA sponsored projects and, you know, a lot of the defense stuff. And so it made a ton of sense. You know, the facility is beautiful. You got everything I'm looking for, it's, you know, out of my house.
Yeah.
So,
right.
I love
my
kids, but they're not conducive to getting work done.
So. No, not the best helpers.
Not at all. Love them, but.
Right. Yeah. Well, we're super excited to have you here. And it really is one of those places that I feel like once you get in, it's really hard to leave. Like it brings so many benefits to your business, to even like just life in general, where like you're just constantly networking and just building that one, your portfolio too, but also just your clientele, your connections.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just one of those things that it helps people with, like, I mean, no matter what stage you're in, I mean, I'm an intern, I'm learning like crazy, but the entrepreneurs that are here, I mean, all their stories, and I love talking to them and kind of seeing, just checking in with them and really seeing like how things are going. I love the companies that are here. It's so much fun. I learned so much from all of you guys. So just checking in.
It's cool because I was like, if I could just get an office space somewhere, but I wouldn't meet anybody. There would be no networking.
Yeah.
You know, and so this made a whole lot more sense.
Oh, for sure.
I'm super looking forward to like the post-COVID era when we can all actually like get together and talk about stuff. And, you know, so I'm sure it'll take me longer to meet everybody just because everybody's kind of remote. But.
The networking events that we used to have, like, you know, before COVID hit, oh my gosh, so much fun. Like, literally just sit out there in the lobby for like hours just talking. And it's so much fun. The workshops, it's great. They're probably going to be bigger and better, you know, just because.
Can't wait.
Yeah. You know, you're in for a good one for sure. So what are you most looking forward to about being here in Huntsville? There's so many benefits. You've kind of mentioned a lot of it, you know, business-wise and personal life-wise. What are you most looking forward to?
I've first of all, I'm a total space nerd. So like
well,
the idea
you're in that place.
I'm in the right place for that. So the idea that I can like drive down the highway and drive past the Saturn V rocket all the time is pretty cool. But I also, you know, defense is not a place that we've played a lot in. And I think we have the infrastructure to really do that now more so than ever. And so I'm just looking forward to learning. You know, what's really cool about living here is like literally every one of my neighbors either works for NASA or the military. So
get used to it.
Which is, I knew there was going to be a lot of it. I didn't realize it was like actually everybody.
Oh no, like literally everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah.
So that's been cool already. I've met some great neighbors who have some ideas for me, which is cool. But yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, I lived in Atlanta for 20 years. Yeah. I grew up in Philadelphia for 18 years. So this is like only the third place I've ever lived. And so, and as an adult, you know, I came to Atlanta when I was 18. So it's kind of cool to be in a new place as an adult, just to get to like check out the bars and the restaurants. And it's, you know, people were like, I think Huntsville's kind of a small town. I'm like, it's not that small anymore and growing like crazy.
It's crazy because Huntsville just was very different. Because my hometown's only about, I've mentioned this before on here, but only about 45 minutes. And Huntsville was the place we went to like shop, to the movies, like things like that. Now Huntsville's crazy different to me. Like the side of Huntsville I see now is totally different. Always meeting like innovative people and creative mindsets, and it's great. I love it. I thrive here for sure. I'll be sad to leave, but I'm super. It's great.
Well, and we're getting a Cheesecake Factory, so like you know you've made it when
you
Cheesecake
know you've
Factory.
Made it, right? So, when you get the Cheesecake Factory bread, like that's the best. No, it's great. So you know you have so much experience and a lot of just depth in your work experience. What kind of advice would you give to those looking to start their own company?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the one thing that's helped me through my entire career, even before I was an entrepreneur, was just ask for what you want, because you're never going to get it if you don't ask. You may not get it even if you do ask, but it's worth asking. So just a quick sort of sidebar here. When I got my internship at CNN, I was 18. I had just started in school at Emory. It was the day after the 2000 election. So we didn't have a president, which was the first time that had happened in my lifetime. So my roommates and I were like, hey, let's just go down to CNN. Like something cool's got to be going on. So we literally just went down there. They happened to be giving away free tickets to a talk show that was in the atrium at the time. And I just was in the audience. I actually sat right behind the host. So my mom was like, saw me on TV. And I just walked up to the host after the show and I was like, hey, how do I get an internship here? And she was like, oh, talk to that lady. A month later, I was working at CNN as a freshman, which, as you probably know, is like unheard of. And I never left. So I was there for 14 years. So I think the long and short of it is, you know, if you don't ask, you're not going to get it. And, you know, I think entrepreneurs have to understand that it's risky. There's a lot of stress involved. And I think I heard this on Shark Tank. They said, you know, entrepreneurs are the only group of people that'll work 100 hours a week so they don't have to work 40 hours a week. And that's so true. I mean, I literally, it never turns off. And you just have to know that going into it. Have a lot of colleagues who are still at CNN who are like, man, I couldn't do what you're doing. Like, I have to have somebody to like tell me what to do every day. And I hated that. And I've told my staff, like, I don't care what time you come to work. I don't care what time you go home. If we get unlimited vacation at Skyfire because I'm like, you're either going to put the work in or you're not.
I mean, that's true.
I try to like keep the corporate, like, you know, rules to a minimum because I hate those constraints. And so, you know, Mark Zuckerberg said, move fast and break things. We have another investor whose his thing is burn it, break it, blow it up. I feel really strongly that, you know, you have to try things and see what works. And there's no magic to it. It's just a lot of hard work. I don't feel like we had a great master plan going in. I feel like we've just made a series of good decisions along the way. And we learned some pretty hard lessons, but we learned them quickly and didn't do it again.
And it helps when you have good people around you just a good team that is all motivated, really. That's all. I mean, motivation, I feel like, is really key. And I talked with Jonathan, he has Datacata here, and he was talking about just the optimism that you really just have to have. Like, yeah. He was like, just some days are harder than others. Yeah. And you just got to keep moving.
Well, some days you think to yourself, like, why am I doing this again?
Literally.
Is this really going to pay off at the end? When we went to go get a mortgage for our house that we just bought here, I was like, why am I doing this again? This is a real pain.
Yeah, for real. And you're like, this decision, like, just up and moving. At least it's not too far. At least you didn't, like, move across the country.
No, like, no. And I'm back in Atlanta, like, every other week, so it's not that big a deal. But, you know, but just, like, getting a mortgage as a business owner was a massive struggle. And, you know, you start to question, like, why am I doing this to myself? But then you realize that the upside is huge. I mean, I've been able to be there for my kids growing up, you know, and I travel as much as I did when I worked at CNN, but I'm doing it for my own business, for my family.
Right. I feel like you see the immediate benefit more. Yeah. And you really feel that. And, you know, when people support your business, they're not just supporting your business, they're supporting you too.
Right.
It's a very personal, intimate relationship that you have with the work you do each day.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as he said, you know, there's been times where you just, like, you're looking at the mounting bills and the credit card statements. And and that's the other thing, too, is, like, I think you just have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've had every credit card maxed out forever. And you just, you know, somebody called it the Visa round of funding. You know, you haven't taken any investor money yet, but all of your credit cards are maxed out. So, you know, it's just I'd never once carried a balance on a credit card before I started this company. And you just have to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yep, 100%. Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming
in here
today. We are so excited to see what Skyfire does here at the I2C. We're looking forward to seeing you guys grow and just to hear about how much you're loving Huntsville. We're super excited to have super excited to have your family here. So thank you for coming on, and we got to have you back on in a few months so we can hear about the exciting stuff that you can't tell us about.
Absolutely, yes, and you'll be thrilled to hear about it. It's very cool stuff. So.
Thanks, Matt. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
And that concludes today's episode, you guys. I hope you really enjoyed getting to hear about Matt's story and all the endeavors he's embarking on as he's coming here to the Rocket City. We're super excited to see what Skyfire does. Be on the lookout for who I'm going to interview next. In the meantime, make sure you're following us on all of our socials at UHI2C on Instagram and UAH Invention to Innovation Center on Facebook. Onward and upward.